exciting music and music we're going to be able to hear live this coming Saturday evening. Welcome, Maestro Gregory Voida.
Thank you very much. Yes, this is the fiery finale of Bartók Piano Concerto No. 3. That is going to be played, the solo part is going to be played by David Kadouch, a wonderful up-and-coming young French pianist. And you might know it by now that I am very particular about my Bartók, so you can be sure that he really is a great Bartók player and understands the idioms and understands the musical language. This is probably the most classical of the three piano concertos. In language and in pacing that Bartók wrote. And in the middle movement, this was the third one, but in the slow movement, you can actually hear bird music and particular American birds being depicted in music in the piano and the woodwind parts. Because when Bartók was writing this, he was living upstate New York and he heard these birds. I actually read an article of an ornithologist who identified these birds.
American birds.
American birds, exactly.
Gregory Voida here with me this morning, the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra in concert this coming Saturday evening at 7:30. An interesting, very interesting programming, two Hungarian composers.
That's right. It's not really the Hungarian thing that holds this program together, or at least the first half.
Mm-hmm.
But it's rather the, you got to look at the birds here, because, well, first and foremost, our season is all about nature, mm-hmm. Force of nature, and both pieces are very much about how to put nature into music. Not only birds, but also very natural sounds, like in the Ligeti piece, for example, which is an early composition, folk tunes, folk music, folk dance is of course a basic element of the music, but also the way Ligeti uses the French horns. The way you can play these natural overtones on the French horn is a major part of this composition. And two horns are actually placed, one on stage and the other one is off stage. So you get this natural echo effect.
I think I had dinner with one of the two, Dori Nutt, last night. She was talking about off stage.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And it is just a great effect. You know, we have this wonderful, fast and furious Romanian dance, and it gets interrupted by these natural horn sounds, kind of like corresponding from, you know, between the stage and the other horn players behind the audience.
Let's listen to just a bit. Listening to just a bit of the lovely romantic little movement by a Hungarian composer, Ligeti, and we're talking with Gregory Voida, the conductor. And you have been the conductor since what, 2011?
That is
Gregory?
Correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Around the world, around the world. And you were just telling me that when you leave Huntsville after this weekend, you're going to be going to Paris.
That's right. I'm going to be, well, as fancy as it sounds, you know, I'm going there to work. So
yeah,
I'm,
of course.
I'm going to be sitting in a beautiful room of the Théâtre du Châtelet, which is right in the middle of the city, except I'm going to be listening to maybe 100 singers in 2 days or 150 singers. So I'm just going to be looking out the window at points when you know, maybe somebody's not as strong as one would want to hear it. But it is hours and hours of work a day. Of course, after that, I have the benefit to go to a nice French restaurant and drink some nice French wine and have some fresh baguette and all that. But so I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you that it's for work. I do this once a year for this opera festival I work for. So I always do these auditions in Paris.
And your mother, of course, was a famed opera singer. And you say she's recently retired.
Well, she decided, you know, after long career of singing and teaching, that is just now time to be with the grandsons. And that's what she's doing.
Let's talk about the grandsons a bit, your sons, and they are musicians.
Well, the older one, who is now turning 17 in May, played the violin for 6 years. His name is Bolage, which is Blaise, is the closest translation of the name. And he played the violin well, but then he started doing short track speed skating. And that's a sport that not only is dangerous to the wallet of the parents, but also it's a lot of time to do that and school at the same time. So he stopped playing the violin. The younger one, however, who is 14 and a half now, he not only started playing the saxophone a year and a half ago, and he just gave his first little concert with a little chamber orchestra. And he did it like it was the most natural thing to do ever, just to play about 8 minutes.
Were you
solo
nervous?
Saxophone. No, I wasn't nervous because I saw him not being nervous. You know, I think that matters a lot. And there was a little interview afterwards, so I told him, you know, be honest, just don't give out the bank account numbers or phone numbers or social security number. Everything else is a fair topic. So he was good at that too. He also plays the piano for quite a long time, actually, and he likes that a lot. So he's playing things from memory after hearing them on the radio, or he transposes things on his own. He sight reads with two hands. So he's the one who is more into music. And as it turned out, he said in this little interview that, well, yeah, I might become a conductor, you know, because of my dad. I'm like, okay, that's the first time I hear that.
That's the first time you heard
that. I have a couple of advices if he takes them.
What would you tell him?
I would probably steer him the right direction. Listen, we're parents who don't, you know, pressure their kids into doing anything. It's you know, the speed skating was my older one's choice. The saxophone and the piano was the younger one's choice. So once they choose something for us, then of course we say, okay, you gotta do it right.
You
can't quit in the middle.
You try to find them fine teachers.
Well, of course, and so that's what I would do if he was really serious about becoming a conductor. It's just I would probably steer him the right direction, where to go and whom to study with, and what you know to put together as a portfolio to become a conductor. So of course it's better if your father is one, because then you have some inside information and some experience.
What did he play? It was a classical piece when he was playing with this little orchestra.
He played a little Mozart minuet. Of course, for the saxophone, it's mostly transcriptions. But it was lovely. Actually, the conductor of this little orchestra did the transcriptions. It was a Mozart minuet, and it was some French romantic little song that I can't remember the composer of. But they were really neat, really nice.
If you've just turned on your radio, I had the pleasure this morning of chatting with Gregory Voida, who is the musical director / conductor of the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra. The orchestra's next concert is this coming Saturday evening at 7:30 in the Yvonne Brown Center Concert Hall. And they have an open rehearsal at 11 o'clock on Saturday. And I've always found those just great. And I think you're very good about actually turning around and looking at the people who are sitting there and telling them what you're up to.
Yeah, we call it the sneak preview, so you actually get to hear the concert program, but other than that, you actually get to experience, you know, symphonic music behind the scenes, kind of when you. To me, actually, rehearsals are sometimes more more interesting than concerts, because you really get to hear maybe, you know, certain parts of the orchestra playing without the other parts, and then you get to hear, you know, what's kind of like in the middle of the musical texture, and you can actually practice your ears a little bit more with than just when you're listening to the full texture, and of course the way an orchestra and the conductor rehearses, I think it's very interesting to see what you need to get to the concert at the end.
And the concert at the end will be Saturday night at 7:30. Stay with us. Gregory Voido, when did you first decide to take up the clarinet? Your mother was a famed soprano, and your dad played bassoon. What prompted you to take up the clarinet?
I actually picked up the violin first. I played the violin for 5 years, and I turned out to be allergic to many things. Not the violin teacher before you go there, but the rosin and horsehair. And so back in the old days,
the violin didn't like you physically.
When they were trying to, cure allergies with big sledgehammers instead of the medication that we have nowadays, right? So they suggested, you know, yeah, you can take shots if you want to keep playing the violin. If you don't want to take shots, then switch. And why not switch to some woodwind instruments? Since my father was a bassoonist, who said immediately, no, you're not going to play the bassoon.
And why did he say that, do you think?
Because he thought that the clarinet was had more opportunities. As far as, you know, you could play in a big band, you can play in a jazz trio, you can play even in a gypsy orchestra if you wanted to, if you learn the style. So, so that's why he said, you know, why don't you just check out the clarinet for yourself? And that's how it started. And I started when I was 11, so it's fairly late for that. But again, I had some basic training, ear training also, and musical with the piano and the violin. So, that's how the clarinet came about.
And what kind are you playing? What's the brand?
Oh, it's a Buffet Crampon. It's basic.
I've heard of Buffet.
Basic French model, but it has been working really well for me so far. So, you know, another thing with the mouthpiece, if I ever break this mouthpiece, that's going to be it. I'm not going to be looking for another one. I'm just going to turn my clarinet into a piece of art and put it on the shelf.
Let's talk about what's going to happen as far as your performing after intermission this coming Saturday evening, one of the most beloved Beethoven symphonies, I think.
And the Beethoven symphony, that's about, of course, the force of nature and the beauty of nature, and that's symphony number 6 called the Pastoral, or bearing the nickname Pastoral. We usually don't talk about the fact that symphony number 5, the famous...
Yeah.
The Fate, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this one were written exactly at the same time. He was writing them parallel. And for a long time, he wasn't even sure which one is going to be number 5 and which one is going to be number 6. You know, isn't that funny how we have this label and we have the name recognition Beethoven 5, Beethoven 6, but it wasn't always like that, or when they were written, we didn't know which one was going to be which one. And number six, of course, is a kind of a program music. So it is a symphony, but it also every movement has a programmatic title to it and descriptive, at least in the general character, about what it's talking about. And the symphony is five movements, really, actually. It has mm-hmm. a hidden fifth movement. And I think as I was coming here, the weather was getting really windy, so it's
and a storm.
A storm is coming, yes. So this is the storm movement between the third and the final movement, and the third movement, which is a scherzo, very happy dancing music, just suddenly goes into this thunderstorm music, which then. Ends up becoming the finale of kind of like this happy pastoral style 6-8 beautiful piece of music that also everybody knows. So it really is a very interesting form as far as classical symphonies go. A hidden five movement form where the last three movements are practically being played without stopping.
Mm-hmm. Would you say this is your favorite of the nine?
I'm not saying that.
You're not saying that. Yeah, okay.
I'm saying this is my favorite this week.
Oh, this Saturday particularly. Let's listen to just a bit. An opportunity to hear the complete symphony number 6, the Pastoral by Beethoven, this coming Saturday evening with the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Gregory Voida. Exciting music and very familiar in so many ways. What do you think about the different program notes that he labeled each one of those five?
Well, I think
does that affect you at all as far as what your interpretation?
I think that the general character of each movement is pretty clear on its own, you know, without mm-hmm. explanation.
With that, yeah.
It's a little bit like with Vivaldi's Four Seasons. Like, yeah, what if we don't know what this is, right? I mean, the character, first of all, speaks for itself. And then music is... Now we're going to get into the argument of, okay, is music actually about something? Like, is it possible?
Yeah.
Like Richard Strauss said, you know, I can not only put beer into music, but I can also put it into music, like what type of beer it is. You know, that's one way to look at it, of course. Now, if it doesn't call it beer, we might think it's champagne or something else, because music really is nothing as just notes, pitches, and characters and melodies. And if we don't name you know, I'm pretty sure we should do a competition for Beethoven Symphony Number 6. Come up with titles for the different movements that are not like Beethoven's and still are valid. And I think it would be very interesting to see what people hear into these pieces, or what they start seeing when they're listening to these notes, because yes, they're very descriptive in a way, but also if we take the title off, you know, you just get on a journey, and your imagination is what really works when you go to a concert, right?
Right. Can you imagine ever doing anything else?
Well, I don't think you want to eat the burgers I would flip at a fast food restaurant. I'm really not good at that. Maybe I could learn it. I don't know. I could run for office or something, you know.
You'd be very good at that.
I just need to find a place where people don't mind this accent of mine. But I don't know. It's not like I'm not interested in other things, mm-hmm. like you know, literature and movies, and like I'm writing music, as you know, and mm-hmm. I'm writing a music now for an animated movie done by a Norwegian director.
Oh, then
my music and also next season we're doing one of our Casio Classic concerts with authors from Alabama reading their own poems and prose, and I match that with music. So you know, I'm always finding the connections, or trying to find the connections between music and other art forms, or music and science. We had one of those last year with the Casio Classics. So I'm interested in a lot of things, but somehow it always ends up being music in my life.
Yes. Gregory Voida, Maestro Gregory Voida, in town for the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra's concert this coming Saturday evening. And I'm going to give a phone number, the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra's office, for if there are any tickets available. Their phone number is 256-539-4818. And once again, it's 256-539-4818. And I sure appreciate you taking your time, too. I mean, it's four rehearsals, and in the concert, it's a very, very busy two or three days.
That is right, but I'm always happy to come here and talk about the concerts.
Well,
it's always fun.
We certainly appreciate it. And then off to Paris, and then back to Huntsville.
And then back to Huntsville next month. Yeah, we have our last classical concert of the season that has Philip Quinn, the wonderful violinist, is coming back.
Yes.
Playing the beautifully romantic Szymanowski violin concerto, a Polish composer that not many of us know. Chopin wasn't the only one. And the second half of the concert, we're going to be playing Stravinsky's famous Rite of Spring. So that's a real great challenge for the orchestra and for myself. And of course, it's one of the great compositions of all times, I think, not only of the 20th century. And it is a tour de force for the orchestra, and just a real great thing to play live, and to listen to it live is something that you got to do, right? It's got to be on your bucket list.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Well, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure talking
with you.
Thank
you very much. Okay.
And clarinet's going to stay in Huntsville. Gregory Voida, thank you.